It's time for feedback on the Voice of Berks County, 830 AM WEEU. The views expressed on feedback are not necessarily those of the staff, management, ownership, or sponsors of 830 AM WEEU. And now, here is your feedback host, Mike Faust.
Friday! Woohoo! Friday!
Woohoo!
And welcome to another edition of WEEU's feedback program live on your radio, 8:30 a.m. The Voice, WEEU.
Yank up a stump!
And online, WEEU.com. I have a feeling we're going to have a good time here today at Steve Moyer's Subaru. Happy Friday. It's follow-up Friday, frugal Friday. We're taking your phone calls, open forum, open phone line conversation, 610-374-8800, 610-374-8800. It's toll-free outside of the area, anywhere in the United States, 1-800-323-8800. And we welcome everyone listening in on the World Wide Web this Friday morning, August the 1st. Can't believe it's already August, Marty.
I can't believe it.
Oh, my goodness.
Summer flew by.
I know. Marty Nothstein is our special guest for the first hour. And let me tell you what we're doing here. We are broadcasting live at Steve Moyer Subaru on Route 61 in Leesport. Today, we're going to put the spotlight on the second annual Victory Brewgrass Bluegrass Festival at the Valley Preferred Cycling Center in Trexlertown. It's happening on Saturday, September 20th, but let's not waste any precious airtime, and let's get right to our guest. My guest this morning is widely regarded as the greatest track cyclist in America. He won an Olympic gold medal at the Sydney Games in 2000 and a silver medal in Atlanta in 1996. He is a three-time world champion in sprint and Kieran. And after 18 years in competitive racing, he is now the executive director of the Valley Preferred Cycling Center, the bicycle racing capital of the world, which is the same place that he began his career. And, folks, what a thrill it is to welcome to Feedback America's only ever Olympic gold medal track cyclist and three-time world track cycling champion, Marty the Blade Nothstein. Yeah. Hey, Marty, happy Friday.
Hey, it's a happy Friday to you. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to see you, my friend. You've been calling in on the show, so it's nice to meet you face-to-face.
I'll tell you, it's better live in person with you than calling on the air. So thank
Amen
you
to that,
me.
Brother. Oh, you bet. And you're having a good season out at the T-Town at the Velodrome, right?
We're having a great season. You know, weather is cooperating, but, you know, we really put a lot of focus into our professional racing this year. You know, having seven UCI races. UCI is our international governing body, and they rank races because, you know, number one, ranked race would be Olympic Games, number two would be a World Championships, number three would be a World Cup, and then our races came in as like the fourth-ranked highest races in the world. And to have seven of those just in the month of June alone was incredible. So it was a great way to start the season. And we've carried that momentum all the way through July, and we look forward to carrying that through August as well.
In fact, when you leave here this morning, you're going right back, right?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't stop. I mean, this is my busy season. It's my staff's busy season. You know, we're full gas every single day. 12-hour days is a short day. 15-hour days is the norm. So, yeah, we're racing again tonight with our Golden Wheel race, which is an awesome race, and it's one of our fan-favorite events. So, you know, racing action will start again tonight, 7:30.
Definitely. In fact, there's two seasons in your life. From your book I was reading, The Price of Gold, The Toll, and The Triumph of One Man's Olympic Dream. There are two seasons, and you're, you know, born and raised in this area, also a Pennsylvania Dutch heritage, and the two seasons, of course, bike racing and also hunting season, correct?
Yeah, well,
you're a big
hunter. I love
hunting.
I love fishing. I love being in the outdoors. I was a hunter and outdoorsman before I was a bicycle racer. And I have a big passion for archery hunting, really, and I travel out west, and you know, and I chase anything that will try to outrun me. But I really do enjoy the hunting season. I think it really stems from the fact that, you know, one, I was brought up hunting, and the hunting heritage here in Pennsylvania is incredible. And the first day of deer season, and the, you know, and I've experienced all that. And then, as I say in the book, I've learned more in hunting camps than I have traveling the world, believe it or not. And, you know, and I was lucky enough to share hunting camps with some pretty incredible individuals, prisoners of war. I mean, you just learn a lot from these people. You know, you're sitting around a campfire talking to them. But really, and then also, you know, while I was racing my bike, you know, again, you're full gas all summer long. It was really my way to just kind of get away. I always call it therapy sessions, you know, sitting in a tree stand all by myself and just, you know, watching the sunrise, the sunsets, you know, seeing nature come alive is just incredible to me.
That is awesome. You know, many of us grew up watching the Summer and Winter Olympics when we were kids, and I remember watching Eric Heiden in speed skating, and I would imitate and pretend to be him and winning the gold. And in 1976, you were 5 years old. You were watching the Summer Olympics for Montreal. That's where they were held that year, and some of the American greats were getting their gold medals. And the national anthem is playing. The gold medal goes around their neck, and you jump up, and you say, I'm going to win a gold medal someday. And your mom says, yeah, cute kid.
Pretty much, yeah.
Is that a true story?
That is a true story. And, you know, I was always, you know, very interested in the Olympic Games at a young age. I don't know why. Maybe it was, the Stars and Stripes clothing all the athletes wore. You know, again, and the national anthem being played when the athletes are on top of the podium. But, yeah, I was always just, you know, very, very intrigued about it. Had no idea what my avenue to the Olympic Games were, but knew I would like to pursue it. Again, as a 5-6-year-old kid, that's some pretty strong aspirations, and so I'm sure a lot of people probably played it off. And then once I found cycling and knew cycling was an Olympic sport, I thought, okay, this could be my path to the Olympic Games. But up until that point, I had no idea. I thought, you know, I was playing baseball and football, and thought, well, maybe those are Olympic sports. You know, at a young age, you really don't quite understand the magnitude of Olympic Games. You see it on TV and think that's a pretty special event, and I want to be a part of it. But, you know, to this day, I still say, you know, national anthem's the greatest song in the world, you know, and, you know, just have incredible amount of respect, for the athletes, the Olympics, the history of the Olympics. It was just something weird, something struck to me that I just was really, really, interested in the Olympic Games.
Yeah, but there's so many kids like myself, when you're watching that and you say, hey, I want to do that one day. You actually did it. You know what I mean? You achieved that goal. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but I also wanted to be Mike Schmidt with the Phillies. So, watching the Phils play at the time, too. But, once I found bicycle racing and, you know, fortunate and lucky enough to grow up a mile away from, you know, world-class facility that we have there in Trexler Town, came through their community programs, the same programs that produced 9 Olympic athletes. It was just the right recipe, you know, being in the right place at the right time. I lucked into the sport of cycling, but always had that passion of being an Olympian. And, you know, I think just everything came together and had some talent, obviously, and had the right coaches encouraging me to continue in the sport. And one thing led to another and, you know, went on to do some great things and win a lot of races. And now it's even more rewarding because now I've come full circle, and now as the executive director, I continue with our fine history of producing great athletes there.
Definitely. It's kind of cool because cycling kind of found you, and you tell the story in your book, because when you were growing up, sports was good for you and your brother. You guys would get bored in the summertime, nothing to do, and sports kind of kept you out of trouble. And it's a cool story how you got into the cycling. Can you tell that story?
Yeah, very, very bored. We grew up in a small neighborhood that didn't have many other kids. So, most of the day was spent either wrestling or fighting with each other or, you know, hanging out in the cornfield or... And we played other sports, baseball and football, and wrestled and excelled in them. But I had a neighbor across the street, and I didn't know what this neighbor did, but we ended up having a rock throwing contest, and, you know, tried bouncing him off the neighbor's house a few times, and we were successful. Then we decided to throw him at the garage door, and we were successful at that, and make a noise, thinking nobody was at home, of course, but we weren't smart enough to realize, you know, the rocks are coming from our yard. So anyways, the neighbor comes home, sees the rocks in his driveway all around his house, comes marching over to our house, tells my mom that, we have these rocks from your house in our yard, and we have,
uh-oh.
And we have dents in our garage door, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, you know, you can't deny at that point you're caught red-handed. So my mom basically drug us back over by our hair, made us apologize. And our neighbor at the time, Heinz Walter, was also an Olympic team manager for the 84 Olympics and also managed professional bicycle teams. So he said, listen, why don't you do something else besides throw rocks at my house? There's a program right down the street at the velodrome that provides bikes for you to use and teaches you how to ride the track. I felt guilty, so I said, yeah, absolutely, I'll take you up on the offer, and I'll try it. And at the time, I was racing BMX a little bit as well, so I liked the bicycle. And, one thing led to another. But, yeah, so we got in a little bit of trouble, and that's what kind of, you know, introduced me to the sport of cycling.
Yeah, and you showed up on your BMX bike and your cut-off jeans. You're like, I'm going to show these kids a thing or two. I'm pretty macho.
Absolutely. I had no idea what it was about. I grew up a mile away from the place. I was never there to watch the racing. I remember growing up seeing the flags, listening to the announcers, announce racers from all over the world because we live so close, my grandparents in particular live so close that we could hear the PA system at night with the racing, but was never there to watch a race. And then once I got to the venue, you know, I was pretty inspired because it's, you know, it's a cool place. It's a 28-degree bank concrete oval. It's like NASCAR, but smaller. It's just, you know, it was really, really neat. But I had a BMX bike and, you know, zipped around a little bit and had no idea and, you know, kind of liked, you know, the colors of the sport and got on a track bicycle for the first time, which is, you know, a bike with no brakes, fixed gear, you can't coast. And at that point, you know, understood the danger factor of the sport, which kind of drew me to it as well. And, yeah, just really, really liked the sport. And on top of that, I was good at it, which makes you like it more. I mean, there's when you work that hard and you're out of breath and you can't breathe and your legs hurt and you win, it's rewarding. When you don't win, it's not always that fun. So, yeah, so everything just came together. And I lucked into the sport. I was introduced, you know, in not your traditional way. And, you know, and one thing led to another.
And the rest is history, as they say.
That's what they say, yep.
610-374-8800, 1-800-323-8800. Olympic gold medalist Marty Nothstein is our guest until 9:45. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Better yet, come on over here to Steve Moyer Subaru and meet him in person, shake his hand, get a picture with him. We got to take a break. We're going to have more with Marty and more from Steve Moyer Subaru right after this.
This portion of the broadcast day is brought to you by Steve Moyer Subaru. Steve Moyer Subaru, Route 61. Stop by or shop online at MoyerSubaru.com.
You're listening to Mighty Mike in the Mornings on Feedback on The Voice, 830 AM WEEU.
Yes, we're on our way. With helmets on, we start out slow.
Toot the horn and away we go.
Today's the you never know who you're gonna meet when the happy crowd's on the street. So just hold on to your seat and we'll go up, up and down, all through the town, side to side. Oh, what a day for a bike ride. I wave hello to my dad and my mom.
Welcome back to Feedback on The Voice, WEEU, and online, WEEU.com. We're here at Steve Moyer Subaru on Route 61 in Leesport. And today we're putting the spotlight on the Valley Preferred Cycling Center in Trexlertown. We're talking about the upcoming second annual Victory Brewgrass Bluegrass Festival, and that's going to be happening on Saturday, September 20th. And America's only ever Olympic gold medal track cyclist and three-time world track cycling champion Marty the Blade Nothstein is our guest until 9:45. So if you have a question or a comment, 610-374-8800. 1-800-323-8800. Give us a call if you just want to say hello. Or better yet, come on out here to Steve Moyer Subaru. And Marty, I told you I'm enjoying the book, The Price of Gold, The Toll and the Triumph of One Man's Olympic Dream. I've learned so much about cycling and the history of cycling that I didn't realize that track cycling was a very popular sport in the early 20th century, and there were dozens of velodromes on the East Coast.
Absolutely. I mean, track cycling was the sport back then, and obviously I think with the invention of the automobile that changed it up a little bit. But you know, even Madison Square Garden was the original Madison Square Garden was built for track cycling. You know, so again, that for a race called a Madison. So and that race throughout the world is known as the American race because the Americans invented that style of racing. It's called six-day racing, where you have a teammate, you sling them in each lap for six straight days, 24 hours a day, is how they used to do it back in the turn of the century. And that's why, you know, again, the original Madison Square Garden was built to house you know, a velodrome for that style of racing. So yeah, cycling in America has a rich history, especially during the turn of the century, the 20s, the 30s, and then you know, it struggled, you know, up until about 80s, and then cycling again has become very popular with the successes of Lance Armstrong, Greg LeMond, you know, and some of the other greats.
But cyclists back then made more than baseball players. I think that would surprise a lot of people listening this morning.
Yeah, I wish that was still true.
Yeah.
You know, we might be sitting at Marty Nothstein's dealership, but yeah, but. Yeah, that is the truth, and you know, again, being a history buff of the sport, and you know, realizing that, you know, and I can only imagine and seeing the photos of you know, these velodromes that were built up and down the East Coast, in Newark, New Jersey, and you know, New York City, and Philadelphia and, you know, just in Cleveland. I mean, these were incredible cycling venues, and you see the photos with tens of thousands of people, you know, dressed up in suit and ties. I mean, this was a place to go to and be seen. And so, it was definitely a golden era of cycling back then.
Now, something that struck me when I was reading your book, you're racing nationals in T-Town for the 15 to 16 age group. You win the silver. Most kids your age would be thrilled, but at that age, at an early age, you hated silver.
Well, I hated losing, and no matter what it was. And, growing up, my mom would always joke around with me, actually afterwards, because, you know, me and my younger brother would come out of a restaurant, we'd come out of the mall, and it would always be, I'll race you to the car. I'll race you here. You know, I can do this. I can go higher. And so we were always competing against each other. And for me, I just didn't like losing, you know. And it particularly, you know, for me, when I had family and friends watching me race, I always felt like there was a little, it was more expectation for me to perform at a high level. And sometimes I felt like I let them down.
And then early, I mean, you were traveling all over the world and facing some of the best sprinters in the world every week. How old were you, like 17, 18 years old?
Yeah, at an early age, I was thrown in some high-level competitions, which I think really helped me. One thing I'll say is, you know, I was always a bicycle racer, complete bicycle racer, and at a young age, doing all those sorts of racing, really helped my career. So I think, you know, you're a bicycle racer at first, and then you pick your specialty. And, you know, and I didn't like going uphill, so I wasn't very good at it, but I could always go really fast, so that's why I gravitated towards sprinting.
But you're also an ambassador for the United States, and what did that feel like at such an early age, traveling all over the world and representing your country?
Well, it's very cool. Anytime you put on, you're representing the United States at high-level competitions. For me in particular, I always took great pride in that, still to this day. When we have, I really like to see the U.S. athletes do well, even when I invite all the internationals here. But to me, that's an honor that, when you put on the stars and stripes, and again, our clothing's representative, there's no hiding that you're from a different country. I mean, you look like you're from the United States. And to me, I always took great pride in that and raced harder when I had the national team clothing and the stars and stripes clothing on.
All right, we have some folks here that want to say hello. Bob, I know you wanted to win some tickets. Come on over here. And you have a question or comment for Marty. Actually, you have a connection to the velodrome, Bob, do you not?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. One of the reasons I'm here is to meet Marty. I never met him in person, but I hear all the things about him from my granddaughter. My granddaughter trains with Marty and races with some of his teams, and I just had to see him because, even my son. My son talks about you all the time. But that's one of the reasons I came here, just to see Marty.
What's your granddaughter's name?
My granddaughter's Anna Burns.
And how old is she?
12.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she's into cycling, huh?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah, she has all the paraphernalia you need, you know, everything you need. She has it.
Yeah, Anna's one of our great young athletes, has come through our community programs. Again, we've talked about this a little bit before, but, you know, our community programs are really the backbone of our organization, the backbone of our cycling community. And without, the support of an Air Products or Red Robin, these people that fund a lot of these community programs, we couldn't produce these young athletes. And I'm happy because I report all the time to people the amount of young superstars that we're generating, like Anna, who really get in the sport of cycling. You know, they're the next wave of Olympians, next wave of world champions. And even if they don't reach that status, I feel cycling, you know, it's such a good lifestyle to live. You know, it teaches them hard work. It's not an easy sport. It's a difficult sport. And Anna's one of the young ones coming through our pipeline now that we have our eye on to do some great things.
Good stuff, Bob. Here's some Reading Fair passes. Thanks for coming out today.
Okay, may I say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
Okay, on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock in City Park at 11th and Washington Street, we're going to rededicate the anchor.
Oh, yes, I heard about that.
From the USS Maine. That was sunk in Havana Harbor, which started the Spanish-American War. So it's 100 years. It was dedicated in 1914 by Franklin Roosevelt. At that point, he was Assistant Secretary of the Navy.
So 11 a.m. City Park?
Yes.
Sunday morning?
Yes. And it's going to be a nice affair. So thank you for having me.
Bob, thank you. Thank you for your service.
Okay.
Appreciate that. 610-374-8800, 1-800-323-8800. So, Marty, when you talk about 15-hour days at the velodrome now, well, what about when you were training to compete in Olympic sports, I mean, in competition? What kind of days were you putting in then?
Well, not 15 hours of training time, but it wouldn't be uncommon if we went 10 hours. You know, there were days, you know, we spent minimum eight to 10 hours just on our bicycles alone. So, and a lot of training was so intense. You would start with a morning ride, then you go to the weight room or weight, you know, but you'd usually, you'd be in the weight room, you'd be on your bicycle probably two times a day, and then you'd go on an ergometer, which is a stationary type bike for training as well. So, yeah, there's usually at a minimum two sessions, training sessions a day, but usually four sessions a day of training. So it was very, very intense, hard. But it was my job, and that's your job at that level. You wake up every day and you go to work, and your work is, you know, whether heading to a weight room, heading to the velodrome, or going to ride your bike outside. So, I mean, that's the way you had to approach it. That's the way the great riders approach it, is it's their job, and you go to bed early, you get up early, and you wake up every day and do your work.
And all the calories you got to take in, do you have your headset earbuds you put in, and the trainer or Walkman back then?
Yeah, Walkman, right, yeah.
Sony Walkman?
I still call it a Walkman.
So do I.
Yeah, yeah.
Cassette tapes. Did you have the music that pumped you up?
Yeah, you know, I used to like listening to music, and but there were times when sometimes, you know, silence was just the best, and I had coaches, you know, and some of my coaches, you know, they didn't like music. They thought, you know, you shouldn't need music to motivate you. I disagree with that. I mean, if you use anything to motivate you, just get the job done at the best of your ability. But yeah, they were long days, and that's why I think, you know, I don't shy away from the hard work right now as executive director of the Valley Preferred Cycling Center. I mean, this is my season now, and I mean, this is now my Olympics. So I come to the office every day full of energy, excited. I can't wait to watch your racing tonight. Talking to Bob about Anna. I mean, we're going to train her today at 11 o'clock. I mean, so we have all our young kids out there. I mean, this is stuff that motivates me every single day.
That is awesome. 1996 Summer Olympic Games in Atlanta. The USA team was the one to watch, and you were heavily favored. In the time trial, you set an Olympic record, lasted for 15 minutes. Typically, in a match sprint tournament, the semifinal and finals take place on the same day, correct?
Correct, yeah.
But because of TV, because of television, it happened the next day. Would there have been a different outcome? Because, you know, you said you won that thing. I mean, it had a photo finish. It took them 20 minutes, neck and neck, and by, what is it, a millimeter or whatever. But would there have been a different outcome had it been held the same day?
Well, it's tough to say. I would, you know, looking back, I was really on fire the day before. Semifinals, had great rides. My legs felt great. I felt strong. I felt motivated. Not that I didn't feel that the following day, but going in the following day, we were in a big rain delay. So, you know, and that's tough. I mean, as an athlete, you're trying to get up, and, okay, we got 20 minutes to start. Raining again, okay, hour and a half. You know, start warming up. 20 minutes we go. Okay, raining again. I mean, so that wears on you a little bit mentally and physically. I was young, though, at that time. You know, it's still early in my career. I was racing first year is 1987, so I'm only 9 years into my cycling career. So, you know, I was a different athlete in 96 than I was in 2000. 2000, I, you know, knew how to handle a lot of those situations. But, yeah, I would say if it was a day before, it could have been a different outcome. It should have been a different outcome the day after, to be honest with you. So, you know, it's just...
To this day, you still say you won that. You won the gold.
Well, I think I won that ride.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Is there, what, series of three or four?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I won that ride. And, you know, as an athlete, as riders, you know when you come across the line and you know when your tire crossed that line first. But, you know, the photo finish claims it was different. But really, I lost the gold medal that day. I didn't win a silver medal. It's, you know, track cycling, my event, sprint cycling, it's like a boxing match. It's like a wrestling match. You know, you have a winner and you have a loser. You know, you can win a bronze medal, but you can't win a silver medal. You lost the gold medal, but you were awarded the silver medal. So that's how I viewed it. And I felt like I lost that day.
So Jens Fiedler, is that my pronouncing his name?
Jens
Fiedler.
Yeah.
He's from Germany.
Yep.
Tell me, do you still stay in touch with this guy, or is
I think he might be on Facebook or something with me. But,
you guys communicate to this day?
Not very much.
Not too much.
No.
It's interesting, too, because I thought this was really cool. Before the start of every race, you always say a prayer that you and your opponent won't crash. But again, when it comes to the gold medal race, you want to kill your opponent. You want to destroy them, you know?
Well, and that prayer doesn't always work either. I mean, really, that's just, I think, out of respect. You know, it's dangerous when you're out there going that fast. I've seen guys get hurt. I've been hurt, you know, so you definitely, you know, you got to finish the race to win a race. And so that's one thing, you know, I always used to, you know, wanted everyone to be safe. Didn't always work. But as soon as, you know, the whistle's blown and the race has started, you're on kill mode.
Yeah.
I mean, just plain and simple. Yeah, it's just, you're on edge. You got to make sure, you know, yeah, it's a boxing match, and you're looking for that knockout punch. It's not, a, you know, there might be a few little jabs thrown at each other, but you're looking for that knockout punch. And the way I raced very aggressive. I sometimes took it too far, you know, but I've also wanted people to know that, you know, I was the alpha male there.
Yes. 610-374-8800, 1-800-323-8800. Darlene, come on up here if you have a question for Marty Nothstein. We have him until 9:45. And by the way, you can buy your tickets. Dave, can you get the tickets here, or do you have to call the Velodrome and get to buy the tickets there for the... Go to the Velodrome. Those tickets are on sale for the Brewgrass?
Absolutely. We sold some already last Friday.
Yeah, go to the website.
Go to the website as well. What's it called?
Brewgrassfest.com.
Also, thevelodrome.com as well, Marty, right?
Yes, you got it. Yep.
All right, great. That's going to be a fun event.
That's an awesome event.
And there's
event.
So many other events. You have the, what's it, the one, Big Flea, Marty?
Yeah, the Velofest. Yeah.
The Velofest, yeah, that's really cool.
That's the largest cycling fitness-themed marketplace in the United States. We have over 300 vendors, everything from manufacturers trying to get rid of their leftover stuff to local bicycle shops trying to blow out their inventory to professionals cleaning out their garage. So I tell people all the time, you know, if you're really, you know, looking for some equipment, hold off. October 11th is when our VeloFest is. There's over 4,000 people come through the gates trying to, get the greatest deals in the United States. And there really are some incredible deals. I'm always amazed because I walk around and see a bicycle that I like or equipment that I like to say, hey, what'd you pay for that? And they tell me, and I'm just shocked at, you know, how little people sell.
I need some new shoes, some biking shoes, you know, where you clip in for the clips.
Wait until October 11th.
I will, because I need a size 14, and that's hard to find sometimes.
Yeah, you'll be amazed. They'll be there.
All right, I'm going. Dave, let's go. Okay.
You got to start coming up there.
I will come up. I want to see one of these rides. Go ahead, Dave Klein. Yes.
Matter of fact, Marty, while we have Mike here and on the spot, you have a program where average guys like Mike can go up there and get on a track bike, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Not only our community programs for kids, but also for adults as well. So we have a lot of adult classes, and they're well attended as well. And again, the Velodrome's a safe venue. We give you a bicycle to use. We'll provide a helmet if you don't have one. And you got great coaching. I mean, all of our coaches are either ex-professional riders or USA Cycling certified coaches. And, you know, they teach you how to ride the track safely and have a lot of fun. So, yeah, we can get anybody out there, and we've seen anybody. And, you know, and we take great pride in getting a lot of new people to the track and showing them how to ride.
Now, let's do a throwdown. Let's get Mighty Mike.
I would love to go up there
and ride.
Let's do it.
And we'll figure out how to do that. But how does the average person find out about when the track times are, open track times, and all that kind of stuff?
Everything's on our website, thevelodrome.com. So, and then we have a calendar on there, and it's always, you know, it's updated regularly. And it's, the best thing to do is always to go on the website, check the calendar, see what programs are going on, because there are a lot of programs. There's also information on how to sign up for our community programs under the community program tab. And the majority of the community programs for the kids are free of charge. That's one thing I don't think we really stress enough, is these programs are free. That's one reason I got involved in it, because I'm sure my mom or dad wouldn't want to spend hundreds of dollars for me to try a program I might like. But, our Air Parks program, definitely free of charge. I mean, you don't get programs like this anywhere else in the world.
It's awesome. Darlene, what's your question?
I'd like to know, do you train out in Colorado Springs at the Olympics out there?
Yes, I spent a lot of time out at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs.
We went past where they train the Colorado Springs, and a lot, you know, because that's higher elevation.
Yep, it's at 6,000 feet, a little more than 6,000 feet altitude. It's hard to breathe out there, but it's also a great training technique if you go to high altitude. Your body's deprived of red blood cells, so it works hard to make more red blood cells. You get to lower elevation, so your blood's a little bit thicker and richer with oxygen in it. So that's really the mentality of going up to altitude. And I spent time there before we went to the games in Sydney in 2000. Oh. We actually had the national championships there first. So I was in Colorado Springs pretty much the month of end of June to July, so about a month in Colorado. Then we went to Brisbane, Australia, spent a month there before we started racing. And this is all, you know, didn't see my family at all during that time. So, again, that's one of the tough things in cycling. And especially for me, I wasn't your typical cyclist. I was, you know, married, kids, and, you know, off traveling the world, staying away, not seeing them for months at a time. And, it got difficult at times.
It's got to be hard. Hey, Darlene, how about some Reading Fair passes? Or you want movie tickets?
Movie.
You got it. All right, we're going to go to the phones. And
thank you.
Kent, you're welcome. Thanks for coming out. Ken's up next. Ken, good morning. Happy Friday. You're on with Marty Nothstein.
Yes. We plan to go to the Velodrome tonight.
Woo-hoo!
And the question I have, I heard on Dave's show on Sunday morning that if you buy the Jazz Fest tickets tonight, you get also, for $10, but you also get a CD from last year's performance. Is that still correct?
That is correct. Right, Dave?
Right.
It's not the Jazz Fest. It's the second annual Victory Bluegrass Festival, and it's bluegrass and acoustic music. And that you're absolutely right. If you go to the Velodrome tonight or any night during the season or any time during the season, the office is open even on non-race nights, and you buy two advance tickets. They're just $10 in advance.
Right.
And then you get a free commemorative CD that was just released. If you heard it on the Mountain Folk Show, thanks for listening. Yeah, it's almost 80 minutes of music on there from what we did last year, and we had a blast last year. And I
yeah. We were there last year. And,
oh, you were?
Oh, yeah, and really enjoyed it. And we, of course, want to come back this year, but the only reason one of the reasons I'm going to the Velodrome tonight is to get the CD with the ticket purchase.
And, there you go.
And that's okay. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been to the Velodrome before you went to the Bluegrass Fest we put on last year?
Never.
Okay, and what do you think of that facility?
It's beautiful.
Isn't it? It
really
is absolutely
is.
Gorgeous. And you know what? You are, a normal person in that a lot of people here in Berks County don't realize that right up the road we have this world-class facility, an amazing facility that touches people's lives, like this young guy we have right here who's the gold medalist in the Olympic Games who runs the place now.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of our mission for putting on the Bluegrass Festival is to help Marty, you know, to get the word out that, you know, at-risk youth, anybody, come in, learn the sport of cycling. It's fantastic. It teaches great life values, as Marty said earlier. And also, so we have two programs. So part of the proceeds from Bluegrass Festival go to benefit the programs that Marty's putting on there at the Velodrome and help Marty in his mission. And the other part goes, we have a program that we opened up with the Reading Musical Foundation, and we have a youth group of bluegrass jam band kids, and we don't talk a whole lot about that, but they're kids between the ages of 8 and 18, and they gather once a month at the Gogglersville Fire Company, and they jam. And we have a professional teacher who instructs them. We pay for it. It costs the kids absolutely nothing. So it's all going for a good cause. So whether you're going up there tonight to see the actual racing or whether you're going up to get your bluegrass tickets, thanks a lot, but you're supporting a really worthwhile cause.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I always like to watch it on TV, but I never saw it live. So
I think it's fun live because you can bang on the boards, on the walls, and yell and scream, and, you know, it's exciting.
And the cyclists play off of that energy, don't they, Marty?
Oh, yeah, the more noise you make, the louder you cheer them on, the faster they go. And until you really see it live, television doesn't really quite do it justice, but until you see 36 riders race side by side, elbow to elbow, inches apart in a 28-degree banked oval, an arm width away from you, and the whoosh of the air, and the sound of the tires and the chains, it's definitely a lot better in person.
Thanks,
well,
Ken.
I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ken.
Right.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, we just got another minute or so with Marty. And Marty, 23 years old, you're the fastest man in the world. You win the gold at Sydney. How did that feel?
Oh, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, really. And now as I'm a little bit older, you know, you realize that hard work pays off. And, you know, you just every single day I woke up and I did it for a reason. And, you know, one of the reasons was being Olympic champion at a very young age, as we discussed earlier, as a 5-6-year-old, you know, kid, just, you know, completely, you know, inspired by the Olympics. And to be there and stand on that podium and hear your national anthem, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, it was really, you know, a dream come true for me. And, you know, being called the fastest or world champion in anything, and I was lucky enough to do it several times. Again, it's just, you know, it doesn't get old hearing it.
I love the story in your book about your high school football coach. He called his mom and said, where's your son? He didn't report for practice. And she said, well, he's riding bike. Why is he wasting his time riding bikes? He's not going to amount to anything riding bikes. Hello?
Yeah, he's you know, some bad advice, I guess, because I've met him or talked to him several times afterwards. He's like, yeah, I tell that story to the football teams today.
It's a great story.
Yeah, like, listen, I did give someone bad advice. Normally I give very good advice, but I did give one athlete bad advice. And, you know, I really liked football and enjoyed football and, you know, liked banging into people. And it was a sport I was also good at. And so that was a tough decision, though, when I was, you know, 16, 17 years old, deciding to race my bike full time. And believe me, when you grow up in a household like I grew up in football and baseball, your sports, you know, you grow up hunting and fishing, the outdoorsman, you're tough. You grow up to be a tough kid, and you're 16 years old and you're shaving your legs. Your father's looking at you thinking something's not right here. But for the reasons being, you know, cyclists need to shave their legs. And but then obviously when I won a couple races, he was very proud of that.
Real quick, what's your first name? Hey, Ernie, thanks for coming out. Like your shirt.
Thank you.
You have a question for Marty.
Absolutely. Your goal was to be in the Olympics. Do you remember the day you woke up thinking, I'm that good, I can do it? And the second part would be, you realize you're good enough to be in the Olympics, did you wake up one day and think, not only can I be there, I can win? Do you remember a day like that?
And those are two different, distinct memories for me because, you know, making the Olympics is one thing, and a lot of people make Olympic teams, but I was never satisfied with making an Olympic team. I, you know, and my whole cycling career, and again, having the great coaches and guidance I've had with the Mark Whitehead and the Gibby Hatton, you know, it was never about, let's not just do it to do it. You know, let's do it to win it. And but I would say probably, you know, 89, 90, my last few years of junior racing, I realized I was, that I might have the potential of being an Olympic team member. And then probably about 92, 93, I realized I had the potential to become one of the best riders in the world. And I did shortly after that. So, yeah, sure. But you're right. There's two different distinct things. And I've said it to this day, and it's not a knock against some of our other riders in the United States. It's like, you know, I challenge them all the time. Don't just make the team. Do something while you're there, because that's a huge difference.
Definitely.
Big difference between just, you know, walking in opening ceremonies and standing on the award stand.
Good question, Ernie.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming out. Where can our listeners get a copy of your book?
Amazon.com, or we also sell them at the Velodrome, at the Valley Preferred Cycling Center, or thevelodrome.com.
All righty. And again, tonight, the Golden Race, the Golden Wheel?
Golden Wheel Race. Gates open at 6. Racing starts at 7:30 p.m., and we're excited to you know, have another great Friday night of racing.
Marty, what a thrill. What a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on the show today.
No, absolutely. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Marty Nelstein. We got to take a break. We'll have more from Steve Moyer Subaru right after this.
You're listening to Feedback with Mighty Mike Faust on The Voice, 830 AM, WEEU.
Nonchalantly wheeling along on our way, my bike and I, on a sunny day. We fly down a road that's winding, fortunately finding wherever we go.
Say, Keith.
Get a fond hello.
I like that. My bike and I. It's a nice picture he paints there, huh, Dave?
Yeah. He's still singing, though.
I know. I think it's coming down. Now it's time for me to talk. Welcome back to Feedback here on The Voice.
Is that Mike Keller?
That's Mitch Gerhardt. Is it that Mitch Gerhardt guy? Welcome back to Feedback here at Steve Moyer Subaru, Route 61 in Leesport. And the spotlight today is on cycling and music. Great combination.
Well, yeah, cycling, music, and Subarus. And I
Subarus.
Just look over there. I see Eric Moyer popped his head out here. And,
hey, Eric, how you doing?
If you look on the back of my Subaru, I have my bike rack on there all ready to go, always this time of year. Matter of fact, when I get the car, when I purchase them here from Steve Moyer Subaru, I say to Eric and Keith, now, look, we got to make sure that we can either convert that rack I have, that, you know, that carrier over, that hitch. And they always say, like, what are you going to put in that hitch? Because I always get the big one. And they're like, what are you towing, a train with this thing? Well, it's because if you put four bikes on there, you know, it's
oh, sure.
A
that'll weigh it down. Yeah, exactly.
And right now, if you look in my Subaru, it is no lie. It kind of personifies my life. It has my bike rack on the back, which I'll be using tonight. But inside, the entire car is filled with band equipment that I used last night for a music thing we did up at Crystal Cave. So that's why I get the Outback. It's just loaded with space, and I jam everything in there that I need.
Well, Subaru is a good match for people who enjoy the great outdoors. You know, whether you're cycling, you're kayaking, you're canoeing, you're hiking,
yeah.
Subaru is the perfect vehicle to take out to the trails, to the mountains, the lake, wherever
yeah.
you're going to go.
Yeah, yeah. So more cycling stories because we're talking about
yeah.
cycling.
Finish the story. You're telling
so
there,
well,
to
at
the
one
news.
Point, there's always different cycling things. So at one point, we were doing the WEU cycle series. We had a Subaru. I had an old Subaru Outback again. And this particular Subaru I had for a really long time. I think it was well over 100,000 miles on that one. You know, and if you do the maintenance, they'll last you more than 200,000 miles. So I came to these guys and I said, listen, I'm thinking about getting the Subaru painted a real wild color. And you remember that? And they're like, well, what color are you going to paint it? Fluorescent pink. We got it painted fluorescent pink. And there's still pictures of it someplace. And we used to go down to, like, the pro bike race in Philly with this big fluorescent pink Subaru, you know, with WEU and stuff on the side And they'd let us in anywhere. Like, I'd say to the cops, hey, you know, we're down here to cover the race. And no, not a problem, because who else would have a fluorescent pink Subaru? You know, so that was fun. But what I was saying with the cycle series, so we put this cycle series on, and out of that cycle series came you know, years and years and years of great, great competition here in Berks County, following up in that tradition and heritage. And some of the notable things that happened, our own Butch Ulrich, who's now the president of the Berks County Bicycle Club, became one of the winningest champions ever in that cycle series. He is, I guess was, and still is a fierce competitor. And so that was really neat. But another thing that came along is we started, in those days, you could start racing in the bike series at the age of 8. And, you know, we always watched closely who the young kids were coming up and coming through the series. And there was a division 8 to 11. And at one point, either in that division or the next one, 12 to 15, I think it was, there's this young kid that started coming in and winning the medals at our bike races. And his name was Marty Nolstein. Just this young kid. And he was really cleaning people's clocks, you know. He was a fierce competitor. Well, to know that he went on to win an Olympic medal and to have that connection with the Velodrome, as I said. And we used to broadcast live from the Velodrome, Mike. Maybe someday we'd do that again.
I'd love to do that.
We helped to, in our own company, to kind of to set an example. We have a wellness program. Our wellness program is divided into walking, running, cross training, and cycling. And if you will bicycle, which helps with wellness, you can win gift certificates and prizes within our company. We have a ride that we go out on every Monday night. Sometimes Butch joins us. We have pedometers. So we're promoting wellness. Along with that, we have that runs right through Berks County and right past this dealership here, the Schuylkill River Trail. And I'm the ambassador coordinator for the Schuylkill River Trail. So if you'd like to donate some time to the Schuylkill River Trail, like I and many others do, you can help us. You get out there and you ride your bicycle or walk on the trail. You have to ride or walk 8 hours a month from April through October is what we ask for, just 8 hours a month. And if you're out on the trail anyway, it's the easiest
That's
thing in the world. You get
a
really cool cycling jersey, you know.
And, That's easy to do.
And you're the eyes and ears of the trail so that the trail remains safe. So we put that force out there. We have a 3-year strategic plan. We're in the second year of it. And WEU and Reading Eagle Company, of course, integrated with that because we understand that a linear trail provides great quality of life to a community and provides opportunities. So you and I and some others from our company, we're out there every Monday night riding on that trail, right?
Right after work. Love it.
Right. Now, last Monday night, I bonked.
Yeah, all of a sudden, we're coming back, and all of a sudden, Dave just conks out. And Jeremy and I say, where's Dave? And he was way back there. All of a sudden, but you had done 80 miles.
I just ran out of gas.
That's the thing. You did tell everybody you did 40 and 40 on Saturday and Sunday, right?
Yeah. Well, I was behind in my wellness program at work. And I hate to be behind a goal, you know? So I went out on Saturday and rode 60 miles from the Oaks, Phoenixville area, down to Schuylkill River Banks, the Art Museum, and then back up. That was 60 miles. The next day I rode a short recovery ride, really short, like 13 miles or whatever. And then I went out with you guys. Anyway, it was up like 80, 90 miles and on the way back, and then that wind started blowing.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, people don't realize it takes about 85% of your energy to move through the wind, just to move, because you're the engine. The human being's the engine.
And see, the wind was, you know, in front of us on the way there, but then it changed direction as soon as we turned around.
And what did I say to you as we were going out?
Because I was
going to
jinx. I say, Mike, don't say it's going to be into our backs, but it wasn't.
It was right in our face. So anyway,
but
we have good fun. It's good camaraderie, and it's great wellness.
That's great.
And we've also worked with anybody in the community, like the Berks County Conservancy. Anybody that's working to restore or maintain or build trails or make things safer for walkers, riders, runners in our community, this is really, really important. Again, in the United States, we probably haven't felt the pain yet of the price of gas that they do over in Europe.
Right.
So in Europe, you see trails everywhere. People commute by these trails that are a side of the roads. It's very rare to build a major road and not have some kind of rail trail or a pathway aside of it, you know. And that's, you know, cycling is such a big deal over there. And in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, we have a rich heritage of it, but we need to keep working on it. We need to keep working with people. So if you're interested in cycling, contact the Schuylkill River Greenway Association. Contact the Berks County Conservancy. Go up to the Valley Preferred Cycling Center. You know, participate in these things. And our own Berks County Bicycle Club, as I mentioned, our own Butch Ulrich's the president of that club now. That's a great club. They have rides. And one guy was just talking to me here. I'm not a member currently. Shame on me. Because I go out and ride a lot on my own, but he was telling me, oh, come out for the seniors ride. So I have mixed feelings about that. That means I'm a certain age, right? But, yeah, he's right. So I think I'm going to do that. They have organized rides with, like, ride cue sheets.
That's awesome.
So you know where you're going, you know.
And yeah, they rode in the Olli Valley the other night.
They ride in the Olli Valley, as far as I understand. You know, yeah. On Tuesday nights, that's a regular
that's right.
thing. But then they have, like, they publish a newsletter, and you can go online, I think, and see it. And they have regular rides scheduled, like, on Sundays, and you can see where they're going to ride. And then they have a gradient for the ride. So it'll be, like it'll be this, this, and this. It's, like, usually a numeral and a couple numbers and letters. And anyway, what it's telling you is the difficulty of the ride and how long the ride's going to be and that kind of a thing. So you don't get in over your head. You know, and it's friendly people. And I think also being part of a wellness program or joining a club helps you to motivate yourself to get out and ride more. Because it is pleasant.
I look forward to our Monday rides.
Yeah, me too. Me too, really. It helps me to clear my head.
Definitely. Especially on a Monday. You know, you're starting to work
absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely.
You need something like that.
Absolutely.
A shot in the arm, whatever.
So here we are again coming full cycle, no pun intended. We've come around the horn, and we're actively involved with the Velodrome again, helping Marty Nostein with his mission. And very proud to do that. And we have this Victory Brewgrass Fest on Saturday, September 20th that helps to raise money for the children's developmental cycling programs that we talked about and also the children's programs to learn music. And all those programs are free and open to the public. And there's a lot of things that I can think of that that are worthwhile. And this is certainly among them and something that we're proud to be a part of.
Yeah, so we're going to do a live broadcast that day.
Yeah, tell us about that. I'm not even sure what you're doing
yes,
that
day. Yes, I believe what we're doing right now, tentatively, we're looking at broadcasting from 11 until 4, I believe.
Oh, you're gonna have a great time. So we've been doing promotional nights up there. A couple Fridays leading up to this, we had one just last Friday, where we gathered different people from different bluegrass bands, and we just have a jam band. Nobody has any rehearsed repertoire. And we got up there, and we stood up in front of the audience at the track, and we just started playing and jamming, having a good time. We had the one guy from the Central Valley Boys who were coming back this year. He came all the way in from California to be in the jam band.
Awesome,
he was here for a wedding. He has some family members here. And he came down, and we had the guys from Big Valley Bluegrass and some of our guys from the Mountain Folk Band and the Mike Herzog Band. And, you know, it's great. It's great camaraderie. The fans really got into it. They're trying to make the track a little bit more public-friendly because they are up against the big sports in America, as we said earlier, the baseball, the football, the basketball, and so forth. So they're taking a couple pages out of the minor league baseball team's playbook. So it's about the racing at the Velodrome, but there's also things for kids to do. Like they have kids balloon toss events, like during intermissions
right,
and
exactly.
things like that. They have characters come up there. You know, we do fun things. We had a Pennsylvania German night, and I love helping him up there because it is so worthwhile.
What's the one guy, the utility man?
He's
a lot of fun, too, when
right.
he comes there. He gets the crowd
right.
all fired up.
Last year we had Johann the Yodeler. We went up and did yodeling up there at the Velodrome, you know, and had a German night because they have national teams. It doesn't get any better than what's going on right up a few miles up the road, up Route 222 at the Valley Preferred Cycling Center in Brinesville. It's world-class action. The top stars from around the world who are the best, the biggest and best and baddest competitors, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
They come to compete right here. Right here.
And it's affordable, and I think kids 12 and under are free, so it's a no-brainer. Take the kids.
It's clean. There's good food. It's family-friendly, and you're right there. Like we've seen, you can bang on the boards, which is a thing that people love to do, which is the boards around the track. You'll see it when we go up there.
I'm looking forward to it.
You're gonna flip. You're going to absolutely love it.
All right, let's go to Jim next. Jim, happy Friday. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Mike.
How are you, Jim?
Okay. I was just wondering if your guest knows the history of the Berks County Bicycle Club.
Oh, that's a really good question. In fact, I'm going to revert to Dave Klein. Dave, can you give us the backstory of the Berks County Bicycle Club and when that got started? And hi, how are you doing? Good to see you. So here's Dave Klein, Jim. He'll help you out with that.
Okay.
The backstory of it and when it gets started. Well, it's been around I've been cycling as an adult for 40 years. So it's been around long before I was around. So I can't tell you exactly when it started. But maybe our current president, Butch Ulrich, is listening.
Well,
and he could call in and tell you.
I can tell you.
Yeah. But I can tell you this. It's a club that has a long and storied tradition. My point of view, it has three main elements. So it has a sort of a citizens element where they have friendly rides that people wait and nobody drops you. That's the term we use in cycling, that if everybody speeds up and you aren't up for it, you kind of get spit out the back and you get dropped is what we say. That is not the kind of thing that happens on a friendly ride for the average person. And they have these rides on a regular basis. They are promoting the sport of cycling. Very good at that, as a matter of fact. And they host rides and so forth. And then they have the other part of the club, the other element of the club is there's a race division, and that is the more serious, you know, hey, we're going to go around and be in bicycle races, and we're going to train as a team, and we're going to train and go and compete. And as I said earlier, back in a couple decades ago when I was involved with the racing division, we raced almost exclusively up at the Valley Preferred Cycling Center. We had a track team that raced up there. And we had a great time racing up there. And then the other element of it is, as with many, many clubs, it's a social aspect. So maybe you're the kind of person that doesn't ride all the time, but you ride once in a while, but you like to just hang out with people. So there's social activities, too, that they do. And I think that pretty much sums it up. If you have a real specific question, you know, I'd try to answer it for you.
Well, let me tell you how it got started. It's a spinoff of the Berks County Eagle Hiking Club.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There was a guy named Bill Kaufman who did a lot of bike riding. And he wanted to have a spinoff of the hiking club. So he got together with a bunch of guys from AT&T at the time. And I think this was in 1973. And we started the Berks County Bicycle Club. A fellow named Jim Brossman, who was an engineer out at AT&T, he designed a shirt. I don't know if they still have the shirt or the emblem, the Berks County with a bicycle.
Yeah, I know exactly which emblem you're talking about. They have a new jersey. Well, new, I'd say maybe it's been around 5 years, the new jersey that they have. It's kind of an updated design, but I know that emblem you're talking about very, very well. And Bill Kaufman, as a matter of fact, somebody that was here, we were talking about cycling, was talking about Bill Kaufman and remembering him fondly. And I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it was back in the day when we had the first couple rides. It was crazy because we had a lot of kids going through Shillington and that, and it was mayhem, I'll tell you.
Well, you know, some things never change. One thing that's important for cyclists, I'm sure you'd agree, is that when you're riding out there as a group, it's really important to not be a road hog. You know,
right.
You have to sort of be, in this country especially, where cycling is not as common because we don't have the commuters and all that. There's not the culture of cycling that there is in other places where you absolutely have to commute by bicycle because it's too expensive to drive around and hog up that gas. But, you know, we as cyclists can't ride down roadways and take up the whole road and have a feeling that, well, that driver should just expect that that's the way it's going to be. You know what I mean?
Yes. I just can't believe it's that long. It's been over 40 years, I guess, since the club has been started.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah, and I didn't catch your name because I was over talking to John Engler, our engineer. What's your name?
Jim.
Jim, okay.
Yeah, I don't ride too much bike anymore. I'm getting too old. My knees gave out on me.
You know what, Jim? I have the same – my knees – I every time I go out to ride or ski, I tell my knees, you know what, this is what I say. I actually talk to my knees. I say, you know what, I'm gonna ignore you guys because you guys are holding me up here. You know, I'm gonna teach you a lesson. And then, so while I'm out there teaching them a lesson, everything's okay until like 2 hours after I finish up, and then they teach me a lesson the rest of the night.
Yeah, I'm down in the basement on the stationary bike now.
No, that's good.
Well, that's good.
Better than nothing,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, I'll let you guys go, and it was nice talking to you.
Yeah,
thanks,
you
Jim. Good call.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.